Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McClain and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT.
Okay, as we roll into hour two of State of the Nation, I'm Brian McClain. I'm here with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, and we're very happy to be here with you. Thank you for taking this time to hang out with us here at State of the Nation. We're live from Texas and New York, per usual. TNTradio.live is the website. Now, Timothy, there's still a lot of questions to be asked and answered about what happened at the Moscow concert attack there. And the U.S. began on Saturday, of course, distracting from Ukraine to tout ISIS responsibility. But of course, who is ISIS? Who funded ISIS? Has ISIS been used before as the catalyst for attacks? These are questions we've been asking ad nauseum for quite a while now. More importantly, how did the U.S. know ISIS did it? Well, ISIS put out a press release on social media, of course. And also curious, how did the U.S. State Department know this was going to happen? Remember, the U.S. State Department sent out a travel alert to Americans in Russia, advising them to stay clear of large gatherings in Moscow, to include concerts citizens should avoid. If anything with like more than 40 people, you definitely want to avoid. Isn't it amazing, Timothy, how the State Department just knows things like this in advance?
They're just so smart. And that Victoria Nuland, man alive.
Yeah.
She said Putin was in for some surprises. Was this one of Victoria's surprises?
Yeah, she's like a real tea leaf reader. I think she said, I'm paraphrasing ever so slightly, but pretty close. She said, Mr. Putin is going to have some nice surprises on the battlefield, and Ukraine will have some big successes this year. She also went on to say, I leave Kiev tonight more encouraged about the unity and resolve of 2024 and the absolute strategic importance of Ukraine. Even as Ukraine strengthens its defenses, Mr. Putin is going to have some nice surprises on the battlefield, and Ukraine will have some big successes. And Timothy, do you also remember before Nord Stream 2 went down, she said something to the effect of, with regards to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have strong and clear conversations with German allies. And I want to be clear today, if Russia invades Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. So, you got to wonder, was the terrorist attack one of the surprises Nuland knew was coming from Ukraine?
Or did she simply buy the amazing Kreskin's turban at auction, right? I mean, her ability to foresee the future is uncanny.
Indeed, it is. Yes, I can
almost
just see her now.
Almost as though she had advanced knowledge.
Yeah, like I could see her holding the envelope up to her turbaned head right now. Also, real quickly, Timothy, I want to get your take on this one. NBC News is already looking to drop ex-RNC chair Rona McDaniel after Rachel Maddow and Morning Joe revolted to the concept. I would think they would like her. I would think they would want her on staff over there because she did so many favors for them as chair of the RNC. I'm a little surprised that they want to take this stance.
If for nothing else than all the concessions she gave to them during the presidential debates in 2020, I would think that they'd want her, just like, Anna Navarro, somebody who's not a conservative that holds themselves out as a conservative that could be used as the whipping boy and agree with everything that the left says on those shows, much like Anna Navarro did on the View. It's unbelievable. I said last hour, I referred to, dumbing down things to the two-year-old level because that's where they are. They throw toddler temper tantrums every time they don't get their way. And that's exactly what happened. They threw a toddler temper tantrum here and NBC caved. And who do you blame for a child's temper tantrum? Do you blame the child? No, you blame the parent for caving in encouraging and rewarding that behavior. So shame on NBC for rewarding this kind of behavior.
Yeah. New York Post is reporting that Rashida Jones, the head of MSNBC, reportedly backed the decision to hire McDaniel, probably thinking along our lines here. This was a good idea. A little, you know, a little light Hannity Combs sort of action for the network, maybe just to provide some semblance of centrism or debate. But in the face of the uproar among her stable of stars, she let it be known that they would not be required to have her on their shows. So there you go.
And here's what's so surprising about the fact that she caved. It's not like they can use their ratings as some kind of cudgel against her. Their ratings are in the toilet.
Yeah. They just, you know, throw everything at the wall. See what sticks. See if Rachel Maddow can accept it or not. And apparently if not, well, it's got to go.
But, you know, here's the thing. When you're in a cult, when things have become articles of faith rather than political preferences, this is the kind of behavior you get, right? These people can brook not a millimeter's worth of deviation from the accepted orthodoxy. And if you step away, just ask Bobby Kennedy Jr. If you step outside the mainstream narrative on even one issue, because don't forget, Bobby's all in for abortion. He's all in for all the climate BS. He's all in for all the things, as you put it, except for the gene jab. But that's enough for his entire family to disown him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Hey, for a list, a complete list of shows and our schedule offered at TNT, which you should check because we've been making some changes over there. We got a lot of cool stuff going on. Just visit our website at tntradio.live, where we serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert hosts right here at Today's News Talk, TNT.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Earlier this month, police in New York arrested a woman who said a group of squatters moved into her $1 million house and refused to leave. She had inherited the property from her parents when they died, then found squatters living inside. She called the police, who escorted two strange men off the property. However, when she changed the locks, one of the squatters came back with another police officer and accused her of breaking into the house. She was escorted out in handcuffs. But, you know, I don't know if everybody's reporting this, but police did decline to press charges on the burglary allegation. But that doesn't mean she's out of hot water yet. And if we focus on L.A., San Francisco and other locations, we see similar issues. But now let's bring in our friend, real estate broker and owner of Discovery Property Group, also the 2024 president-elect for the San Diego Association of Realtors, Mark Powell, into the conversation right now for an update from Atlanta, where property owners are seeing homes morph into drug and prostitution dens. Mark, welcome back to State of the Nation. What's the update out of Atlanta in this regard?
Well, when these squatters go into the house, oftentimes they turn them into drug houses. They turn them into parlors for prostitution, different types of criminal activity, sex trafficking. You've also seen some of these houses used to hold migrants. You've got people in there. But just to opine a little bit on what happened to that lady in New York, she was arrested and taken out in handcuffs because they call that an unlawful eviction. So there's a law. It's a squatting law. Now, you have two different things. You have squatting, which is where somebody will occupy a property with the intent to claim a possession. They're saying that they're now legally have the right to stay in the house. That's different from trespassing, because squatting is a civil violation. You won't get arrested for squatting. That's handled in court. Trespassing is a criminal violation. That's entering a property without permission of the owner. So you're seeing this happen all over the United States. But one thing, guys, I got to tell you, one thing that I saw that was crazy was this Venezuelan migrant who was on TikTok. He has 500,000 followers, and he got 4 million hits on this one TikTok where he's telling migrants that are coming across the border that you can possess, you can go into unoccupied properties and you can actually claim ownership and end up taking them over. So what he's talking about is something called adverse possession. That's where if you're in a house and it's open and notorious and you pay the taxes on it, you're in there for 5 years and the owner never throws you out, that's a legal remedy to take ownership of a house. But what he's talking about is squatting. And look, in some states like California, New York, New Jersey, it can take 6 months to a year to get these guys out. And the police, they won't throw them out. These squatters, they'll print up leases on the internet. They'll go in there and they'll forge the owner's name. And then they'll change the locks and put the utilities in their name. And they'll tell the police, I live here. I'm the lawful tenant. Now, the police aren't going to go in there. They're not going to match the signatures and say, okay, is this the right signature? They go, well, this is a landlord-tenant dispute. You've got to go to court. But there is a law that can allow you to actually get squatters out. I can share it with the audience in a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, go ahead.
You guys want to hear it? Okay, so in California, there's something called a Senate Bill 602. And 602 is a penal code section for trespassing. So what anybody who owns a property, let's say it's a rental property, or you just happen to have enough money, you have a vacation rental in Florida, California, or wherever you have it, and it stays unoccupied for 2, 3, 4 months out of the year, that's when the squatters are going to move in. So what you need to do is file this thing. It's called a trespass letter or a letter of agency with the police. And in California, when you file this letter, it tells the police that nobody lives in this house for 12 months. You can check off a duration of time up to a year, and you post these no trespassing signs. So when the police get to the house and these squatters are claiming, oh, I have the legal right to be here, I'm a renter, I rented this house, the police have this letter of agency on file. So instead of treating it as squatting, they treat it as trespassing, and the squatters or the trespassers are arrested on the spot and removed from the property.
That's California. What about other states?
Well, I'm not sure with other states, but I can tell you in some of the states like Texas and in Florida and in other these states, when somebody is being evicted, the eviction period is 2 to 3 weeks. It's not this California where somebody moves in, they have to wait 3 months, then they file the paperwork, and then it's another 3 months when they get a court date, and then they plead some type of hardship, and they end up staying in there for 6 months up to a year. Now, other states, you get kicked out, and you can see the difference. The blue states, 6 months to a year. Red states, you're getting kicked out. If you don't pay your mortgage, you're going to get kicked out.
And this isn't just an interest of lost revenue, lost rental income. This isn't a typical eviction where the tenant hasn't paid rent. These are people that go on vacation and they come home and they can't even live in their own house. And then when they do finally get back into their own house, it's been trashed, oftentimes over $100,000 worth of damage.
You're exactly right, Timothy. But not only that, let's say you're a real estate agent, you're selling a house that's vacant and the owners, they live out of state, and you're marketing it on the internet, and you have it on the multiple listing service. And one day you show up there and there's somebody in the house. And this has happened to me. I've had people go in the house, take showers, smoke crack, cook an omelet in the kitchen and hang out in there. Fortunately, in my situation, we were persuasive and they ended up leaving. But in other situations, they might just say, no, I'm the renter here. And you call the police. Police show up and the person has this lease and says, I'm the renter, and they've taken possession of the property. And then you have to go through the eviction process, which I have also had. And that is just a long, cumbersome process. It costs a homeowner's money. It costs a taxpayer's money because they don't have attorneys. They're going to get legal defense. They're going to be government subsidized defense. Takes up time from the court when they could be doing other things rather than trying to get a person kicked out of a house that's, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to go to another house as soon as they kicked out of this one. And they keep doing it over and over again because it's not a crime. It's a civil matter.
So that leads us back to the importance of what you're saying about that letter of agency. And I also noticed in Los Angeles, there's a new story out of Los Angeles to do with the Squatter Squad, which says it uses various legal techniques to remove home invaders. And they talked a little bit about that. They had an example of a San Fernando Valley home where they showed up with the police and they were able to, and an inspector, a building, a home inspector. So they showed up with a home inspector. The people had to leave and they were not allowed back in. Home inspectors changed the locks afterward, but it was a trespass versus squat issue that allowed them to get through that.
I have to caution people. If you do have a house and somebody is squatting in there, you have to be very careful, because a case out of Florida, the neighbors called a homeowner and said, "Hey, there's some people squatting in your home." And they were some homeless people. They decided to take residency in the house. So the man shows up and the squatter pulls a gun out on the homeowner. Little did he know, the homeowner, that it was a BB gun, but the homeowner was armed with a real gun and ended up shooting the squatter. So in these situations, you never know what you're going to get into. My recommendation is to call the police, have the police show up, bring any proof you can that you own the property. Another good way is to put in these home alarm systems. Are relatively inexpensive. They hook up to your telephone, and if somebody breaks into the house, you're going to get a notification, whether it's one of the doorbell types of a system, and you'll be able to call the police right away and go, "Hey, somebody is breaking into my house right now, and you got to get there, because they don't have the lawful right to be there."
Okay, great advice, Mark. We really appreciate your expertise in these matters, as this will become a growing and growing issue until this country gets its collective crap together and stops allowing this. Mark Powell, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to speaking with you again real soon.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Timothy.
This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's David Curtin.
In my mind, government spending in the UK is absolutely horrendous. It has got completely out of control over the last 14 years of Conservative rule and 13 years before that of Labour rule. You would probably be astounded if you actually knew how much the government spent. In this financial year, these are the figures, the estimate for how much it wants to spend on everything, or how much it needs to spend, is £1.2 trillion, or 1.2 million million, if you like, which is an amount of money that we cannot really comprehend.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it.
That's a campaign promise.
Tell us the truth. Tell us the truth.
We mandate that the truth be told.
You're hearing it.
TNT.
Rebecca Friedrichs and Roger Ruvalo wrote in a Washington Examiner, "Of all the ailments afflicting our public schools, few are worse than the dumbing down of students. This casts a pall on the country's future, and this ominous cloud is cast by design. That's why you can look at pretty much any state in the country," they wrote. "In the National Assessment of Educational Progress, results are similar and all too often dismal." Joining us now to talk about this grave issue, returning to the show, is the Director of Teacher Engagement at the Freedom Foundation, Eloise Smith. Eloise, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Brian and I were talking in this last hour about the dumbing down of America, how it's been done intentionally, about taking away lessons in critical thinking and in reading comprehension in the 70s and 80s, and replacing actual knowledge and skills and how to think with what to think. This is all by design, isn't it?
Oh, it's more than just by design. I mean, you can actually see their playbook spelled out for you, but spelled out for all Americans during COVID. The teachers unions, Randy Weingarten and Becky Pringle particularly, were behind the school closures that kept our students out of classrooms, that have made them a year or more behind in all of their subject materials, and making all of our students across the country an estimated 20 years behind in academic growth, which is horrifying. This was done purposefully. They held our students hostage so that they could create advocates and activists across America rather than scholars.
And it seems to be working. I'm seeing a lot of really odd, emotional, and many times violent reactions inside of, you know, viral videos from inside of schools. For example, there was this poor girl who had her head smashed into the pavement multiple times recently. But that's just one of many that we've noticed since, you know, kids kind of went back to school after the 2 week or 3.5 year COVID, whatever it was in your town. They said it'd be 2 weeks, but clearly that wasn't the plan.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't know if you all followed that story out of Brockton High School in Massachusetts. It's just about 20 miles south of Boston. And 4,300 students go to this school. Teachers wrote to the national, or to the state of Massachusetts, asking for the support of the National Guard because they felt so unsafe in their school. One teacher said that there was definitely going to be a murder that took place, and it wouldn't be from a school shooting. It would be because a student was beaten to death. I mean, it is not a safe place to go to school anymore, for students or for teachers. And it's because, you know, going back to my original point, the teachers unions, Randy Weingarten and Becky Pringle, demanded that we defund the police in order to send our students back to school. Well, that had a rippling effect across America. The 2020 riots, we can directly link to that. And students across America are much less safe because of them.
And I can attest that those teachers were not being hyperbolic when they referred to Brockton as being unsafe. It was unsafe 20 years ago when I taught there. I taught a SAT prep class at Brockton High, and it was not a great environment 20 years ago. So I can't even imagine what it is in 2024. But the best laid plans of mice and men, this really, you know, shutting down the schools during COVID, finally got dad and sometimes mom. Mom pretty much knew what was going on in school. You know, if she was involved in the pickup and drop off and listening to all the other mothers talk, but dads were pretty much worried about work and letting mom take care of the educational interactions. Dad finally got to hear what was going on when Johnny and Janie had their Zoom classes, and that's what gave rise to all this parental revolt and all of a sudden the awareness of how important school board is and parents speaking before school boards and leading to FBI declaring that parents were domestic terrorists.
Yeah, how absurd is that? I mean, thank God in some ways for COVID, because I think it woke up Americans all over the country. People are not just parents, but everyone is pissed off about what's going on in our classrooms, which is so good. I think that's something that everyone needs to care about. I mean, think of that poor man, Scott Smith, out in Virginia, whose daughter was sodomized and the school hid it from him and hid the offender, you know, and tried to protect him. So it's horrifying what's going on.
My brother's school district here, Scaniellis, New York, the school was hiding the fact that they were transitioning a woman's daughter into a boy. And they all colluded to hide it from her. One teacher finally had enough and blew the whistle, and the mother's now suing the school district. But this isn't every school district in the country. There's no place that's safe from this ideology.
Yeah, I mean, even in Rock Springs, Wyoming, it's happening. It's happening in every school district across America, and that is not hyperbole, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, it takes me back to some years back when I read this book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Iserbeet. Highly recommend this book if you're interested in this topic. It's a classic, if you will. I think it came out in 2011. And I remember thinking when I read it in 2012 or 13, wow, this is shocking, but it makes so much sense. And, you know, I also remember thinking, well, it can't get much worse than this, right? Like this is as bad as it can get, but here we are, you know, fast forward to 2024. And I don't know, it looks legions of miles worse than it did at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, during COVID, UTLA's president, it's the largest teacher union in the United States. Her name is Cicely Mayerta Cruz. She actually said, and you can look this up, she said, it doesn't matter that our babies did not learn how to read or how to do math. Instead, they learned resiliency and how to plan a coup. I mean, these people are literally trying to dumb our students down. They are not trying to create scholars, well-informed citizens at all. They are trying to create activists.
Oh, there's no question. This is Alinsky 101. And as I keep saying, what we're seeing today is the fruits from the trees that were pruned in the 1960s and 70s from seeds that were planted in the 1930s. This is Marxism taken out of the economic realm and put into the cultural realm. It's cultural Marxism.
Yeah, if you haven't read Dr. James Lindsay's book, The Marxification of Education, I highly recommend it. He walks through exactly how that happened starting in the 60s. Guys came up from Brazil and introduced Marxism into education departments across the United States. And that's now why we have, you know, Marxist curriculum marching all over from CRT to sex education to sciences. It's in everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That would be a great 1-2 punch Amazon order right there. Those two books are a great jumping off point, especially if you've got kids in school right now and you're just still trying to make sense of this. Although most of you, I think, probably have made sense of it by now and know what we're up against. We're going to take a quick headline here with today's news talk. We'll come back. We'll pick up right where we left off on State of the Nation TNT.
What's happening?
Newsflash. TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has chosen Silicon Valley lawyer Nicole Shanahan as his vice presidential running mate. New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan issued a gag order against former President Donald Trump in the hush money case. The British High Court has granted Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, the right to challenge his extradition to the U.S., where he faces espionage charges and a potential 175-year prison sentence for publishing classified diplomatic and military documents.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Eloise, one of the most bizarre aspects of the last 3 or 4 years, and one which godparents declared by FBI to be potential domestic terrorists, they were reading and showing the graphic, very graphic, novels that are in school libraries. And the parents have been shut down, sometimes by police, on obscenity charges because they're reading from books that are in the school library and they're too obscene to be read at a publicly televised school board meeting. But they're not too obscene for our 7th and 8th graders to be reading.
Oh, even younger than that. I mean, I know of books, Gender Queer and Flamer in particular, that are actually in elementary school libraries. And it is straight up pornography. It's horrifying, the stuff that these students are being exposed to. And yeah, you're right. It is pornography. And these parents are being, you know, demonized for it. And it's a huge shame. I think there's a parent who started a trend in Illinois, whose student received one of those books, Gender Queer, from her teacher. And the parent just called the cops on the teacher. And I think that's gotta be the move. If an adult handed that book to a student or a child at the park, we would call that person a predator. How is it any different that it's happening in the classroom? It's not.
Yeah. How is it not grooming?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that parents are so upset about, you know, and it's funny how the mass media cartel does not like to show it, you know, to Fox's credit, you know, that they covered the story out of Virginia a little bit, but Where's the ongoing coverage? Where's the coverage of everyone else that's going through this? You know, with Fox, it's like, you know, they can make a poster child out of one person's experience, but they seem to have no interest in covering the daily deluge of these kind of stories that could, you know, has the potential to tip the public zeitgeist a little bit.
Or even the media is covering it up, pretending like it's not happening, that these people are crazy, that these teachers are full of crap, that the parents are lying about this, they're over-exaggerating the problem. And yet every single day, crazy teachers and oftentimes, you know, union members are uploading these videos of themselves onto TikTok saying, I'm a queer teacher and my second graders happen to all pick different pronouns today. Well, why do you think the second grader is doing that? That's not an idea that the second grader had before you planted that idea in their head. And on top of that, they're talking about being minor attracted persons rather than pedophiles and how we need to change the language and the stigma around that. No, that's gross. It's not the same thing as just being gay. It's not the same thing as being, you know, heterosexual at all. That it's evil. And we need to call evil evil.
It is evil. And NAMBLA, National or North American Man Boy Love Association, the name tells you everything about their morals. It was a big proponent of this going back to the 1970s. And it's not just teachers that are in on this. This is a cultural phenomenon that is widespread, including coming out of the music industries, television and movie industries in Hollywood. P. Diddler, as I call him now, is on the lam. His jet took off from California yesterday, headed for Barbados. And he's being looked at as the Jeffrey Epstein of the entertainment world. We've seen documentaries like Quiet on the Set exposing all the pedophiles that worked at Nickelodeon. And here's just some lyrics from a song with Diddy, Sean Combs, and the Notorious B.I.G. I'm using rubbers so they won't trace the semen. The black demon got the little hooker screaming because you know I love it young, fresh, and green with no hair in between. Know what I mean? I mean, that's very clear in that our children have been immersed. They've been marinated in this cultural rot for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, we're hearing all the time arguments from people, you know, in the media and whatnot, that we need to lower the age of consent, or that no, just because I was molested at 14 doesn't mean I couldn't consent to it. What? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Right. And yet this is the argument that adults are now making to try and justify their own sick, twisted desires. It's horrifying. And I think parents everywhere need to stand up to it. I think they need to stand up to boys playing against girls in seventh grade basketball games where they hurt multiple girls. I mean, where are the dads storming down out of the stands? There has to be a revolution on this stuff, on this front, and protect our children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Eloise, let me ask you this. If, you know, our government and governments around the world are looking at the World Health Organization right now and all talking about signing on to this pandemic treaty, which would basically allow those terrorists over there at the WHO to declare a health emergency or a pandemic whenever they want. You know, vis-a-vis, of course, I assume that means schools will be shut down. The ghouls will come out in their COVIDian cloaks and tell you, let's shut down the schools. And do you think that Americans' public education system can withstand another shutdown? Like, if that were to happen again, God forbid, what would happen to the education industry?
I mean, we've already seen all across America, a lot of students did not return to the public school system after COVID. That's for a lot of reasons. I think parents were pretty fed up with the public school system, with what they were seeing their students learning on Zoom. But also parents realized that they can teach their student as well. There's so many more resources out there for homeschooling, which is super cool, for, you know, charter schools, for private schools. ESA accounts, it's pretty exciting what has come out of COVID, actually, the school revolution, the school choice revolution. But I would say it would be pretty difficult in a lot of ways for the public school system to bounce back if another COVID was to happen. I remember during the height of COVID, during the initial first scare in 2020, teachers were refusing to go back in the fall until they had the vaccine first and students behind them. I mean, it was all pretty selfish. And that was very apparent. But then they also were making crazy scare tactics. There's a story out of San Diego of these teachers who refused to go back to school. And so on the first day of school, they all dressed up like the Grim Reaper or were pretending to be dead bodies at the school with it laying in coffins and in body bags. And little kindergartners were scared to go into school. Of course they were. So the bullying has just got to stop if we want the public school system to survive this. But also, we do throw a ton of money at it. It's almost $1 trillion a year business for the United States, the public school system. So even if students leave, they're always going to throw money at it.
They are. And I think that a good first step is to defederalize education, shut down the Department of Education, return the power to the states and give the states block grants. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that the public school system needs to survive, at least not as it's currently constituted. I do want to call out there have been some great people on the side of truth and justice and right here. Groups like Gays Against Groomers that have really gotten vocal and are fighting the good fight on this issue to protect our children, because that's really at the end of the day what it's all about, isn't it, Eloise? Protecting the
I totally agree. Yeah, Gays Against Groomers is an awesome group. There's a lot of groups out there that are doing similar things that want politics and you know, things, morality that should be taught at home, taken out of the classroom. And let's go back to the traditional teaching of math, science, reading, writing, things that we are currently failing in. You guys saw that article from Rebecca Friedrichs. It was something like 67 school districts in the state of Illinois. The students are not, 0% of the students are proficient in reading and math. Let's go back.
That sounds like a good, we're going to have to leave it there. It sounds like a great solution is letting parents handle the moral development and letting the schools handle the educational development. Eloise, can't thank you enough. Stay tuned. We've got more State of the Nation coming right up.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like Latoya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
Latoya Lucas. May your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Protecting. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. The Nonprofit Alliance.
The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McLean and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk TNT.
Well, it's that time yet again here at State of the Nation to welcome our friend Gene Valentino to State of the Nation. Gene, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming here to join us for another State of the Nation. What is on the top of your mind this fine day?
Well, the shock treatments are working. I'm okay now. It's
okay, good.
I'm just holding on for dear life as I watch Pete Buttigieg, an expert in transportation, show up to talk about the merits of a bridge collapse. Trust does matter. And I see total virtue signaling going on throughout the entire Biden administration. We should know better, folks. It's been going on since he got in. And Buttigieg today going there to give us some level of confidence in what the administration's going to do about this bridge is not unlike all the missteps of misspeech that we've seen with these guys since day one. The masks, the virus, Hunter's laptop, government agencies going after individuals recklessly, conspiracy with the media. We've got intelligence agencies speaking out, leading, perpetrating a coup of sorts against Trump of days just before the last election. Let's forget about all that. Oh, we've got a crisis on our hand. We're sending an expert there to take care of the problem. Now, heads up, folks, put your attention on that. A bridge collapse in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, we regret that. And certainly we're sympathetic and trust true forces are in place to respond to this crisis. But I don't need to hear it from Pete Buttigieg is what I'm trying to say.
Well, definitely not, but we didn't need to hear it from the mayor of Baltimore or the governor of Maryland either. The mayor of Baltimore gave one of the most weak, ineffective speeches ever, talking about feelings. And then I thought I was watching Obama's illegitimate son there with the governor of Maryland, looking down his nose with that upturned chin that Obama patented, just like Mussolini, the two of them. And Pete Buttigieg, Brian and I were saying earlier, is there one transportation sector in the country that has not failed under Pete Buttigieg? But again, is there one executive department under Joe Biden that isn't an abject failure by proper standards? Of course, they think they're all successes because their goal is to destroy the country from within.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that, Timothy? You know, you look and you then see Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, stepping up at the microphone, trying to espouse how great the administration is handling things and how sympathetic they are to all the causes at hand. Just spend more money is their only answer. I don't know what that bridge is going to cost to rebuild, but by the time Biden gets his sticky fingers on it, it'll be more than what it should cost for it to be built.
Gene, you know, I'm seeing a stark contrast here also. When I look back at some of the other events, big events that we've seen, you know, natural events, some may say, industrial accidents. So let's take, for example, I don't know, East Palestine, Ohio, or Lahaina. Neither of those happened, was there a statement from Joe Biden saying, we're going to make this right, we're going to fix this, I want to use congressional action if I have to, we will start rebuilding this right away? Where was Pete Buttigieg? How long did it take him to get to Ohio? And how
effective was he? Yeah, and I owe an apology for not mentioning that earlier. Of course, I really maybe don't need to, because there's so many to count for. I'd lose my airtime here with you today if I had to list everything. But your point's well made, Hesh. I don't understand it. We have to be accountable. And during a crisis, it's essential for you and I to have trust in the leader who shows compassion, responsiveness, and has at his fingertips facts and figures that are accurate and true. We don't need the total answer that moment. We know a crisis is a crisis and things are dynamic and moving on the fly. But we do need to see an action plan, a rehearsed, planned, coordinated action plan between the different agencies of government, not a bunch of boo-hoo, crying tears, and a lot of absent, empty commentary. And that's what you're talking about, Hesh, with that mayor.
And then when we did have a leader like that, what did they lose their minds over? Did you see Donald Trump throw those paper towels at that Puerto Rican? I mean, come on. He actually, somebody was behind the queue, and he's like, here you go, and he lobbed it to him, and they were happy to get the paper towels. But of course, that's not how it had to be spun, because it was Donald Trump and it was a Puerto Rican national, so he had to be throwing the paper towels at the Puerto Rican. Completely missing the leadership he showed in that instance.
Very good. You want to spin? Here's the spin. He did not rip up a State of the Union message. Pelosi did. That's a spin. And that's really a perverse act that was in your face on national TV. And why is it we look away from that? Why is the fake media not reporting that? That is the most reprehensible act. If you're going to tell me, and I'm not saying you accusing Trump of throwing anything at anybody, but if you, the media, are going to throw that stupid allegation out there, then let me remind you times 10 of Pelosi ripping up a speech on national TV and 10 other incidences just like it.
Yeah, and also deleting information from the J6 files that could be exculpatory information. Not only do they, you know, just completely ritually humiliate America with things like that one you guys are describing, but they will destroy evidence. I could talk about Hillary and her server magnets and shredders also.
Yeah, but you know, their strategy, their perfect strategy is working so well, isn't it? Let's accelerate the prosecutions and the indictments against Donald Trump in the last 8 to 10 months before the election. His campaign election fund is going up like mad. The people are leaving the Democrat Party and becoming Republicans. Even Democrats don't want to admit it. And then you got the national news trying to go after the only thing left they have, MSNBC today and yesterday. We're watching Joe Scarborough go into convulsions along with Rachel Maddow and the rest of the clowns, trying to take down poor Rona McDaniel. She was former REC chair, head of the Republican Party, and she was probably doing what the other journalists, other government or agency-related people are doing to slip out of government and become a contributor on some of these networks. And what did she run into? She ran into a tsunami of vile vitriol, total evil attitude by Rachel Maddow and the rest of them to force the administration of MSNBC to reverse after only 4 days, 5 days of employment. Rona McDaniel's out of MSNBC. I think Fox News or Newsmax or one of the real conservative networks ought to pick her up, and that would be the story. To think that she tried to get on that network and they blew her out the door. Hey, we've got some liberals on not as much on Newsmax, but definitely on Fox. And we're watching Republican conservative journalists tolerate the insanity of left radical craziness commentary. And we do because we're trying to show some balance.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a problem because, once again, we're playing by self-imposed Marquis of Queensbury rules when we're in a street fight. Rachel and Joe threw one of their patented toddler temper tantrums. That's the only way the left gets what they want, is if they don't get what they want, they throw a toddler temper tantrum, and then somebody, in this case, MSNBC's leadership, will cave to their demands. If they can't like and tolerate a Republican like Rona McDaniel, Mitt Romney's niece, who is, you know, she's slightly to the left of Anna Navarro. If they can't tolerate her point of view, it just shows how this has become a religious cult on the left where absolutely no deviation in thought is possible. They're all for diversity, except for diversity of viewpoint.
Willingness to accept other opinions, right, guys? I may have an adversary relationship and really dislike you as a person, not to mention your opinion, but you are welcome on the show to present the other side. That's what true journalism is all about. As long as it's decent, moral, and ethical commentary that is made for the news, made for radio and TV, it's got to be welcomed if it's a legitimate alternative opinion to the point.
Ah, but you see, that's where they get their censorship. That's how they justify their censorship. We can't give a platform to this because this is not a moral viewpoint. This is not an acceptable viewpoint. Therefore, we're doing you a service by not exposing you to that viewpoint.
And Donald Trump's company called Truth Social I'm in a full disclosure and I'm a shareholder in DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp. It's a special purpose acquisition company, which is on NASDAQ. It's a publicly traded entity, and they've just merged with Donald Trump's entity, Truth Social. DWAC's symbol is disappearing. The new symbol on NASDAQ is DJT. DJT,
right.
For Donald J. Trump, is the new symbol for Truth Social on NASDAQ. And we did quite well today with the way it merged.
Yeah, Donald Trump is $3.9 billion wealthier today than he was yesterday. And here's a little bonus for people that aren't that familiar with New York City. In Times Square, there's a building that has a news crawl and a stock ticker that runs around. It's a triangular building and it runs all the way around the building. So from here on out, people walking through Times Square are going to see the DJT ticker symbol in Times Square. That's a nice little bonus for the president.
That's wonderful. We're going to see a whole metamorphosis occur in terms of how the old days of radio and TV broadcasts are morphing now as we speak into a digital age where social media, the Reddits, the Facebooks, the Twitters, are all going to be morphed into a new concept and a protected platform for free speech. And I think this pendulum of craziness, left speak, censorship will swing back the other way. And we're going to see some true free speech coming back. What a wonderful future it looks like.
I certainly hope so. And I know that we're going to do that here at Today's News Talk and here at State of the Nation. And I'm thinking about what you guys are talking about here, and I'm looking at just the behavior over there at MSN and other outlets. And, you know, we've been talking about the deliberate dumbing down of Americans, and it really makes you think, you know, it makes you long for the old days where you had, you know, both sides, sort of that, you know, crosstalk thing happening, that kind of debate. But you can't have that. You can't have any semblance of an adult, like grown-up debate when one side is just using logical fallacies. I mean, if I look at what the complaints were about Rona McDaniel, all logical fallacies that you know, any student of logic and debate would laugh at. And that's a pretty sad state, considering MSDNC is pretty much spouting CIA talking points. So I guess that shows what the CIA thinks of the American public. Are we dumb enough to sit and listen to nothing but ad hominem attacks?
They were in collusion with the fake media, John Brennan and James Clapper in particular. The Hunter Biden laptop Russian hoax was because of a CIA collusion with the fake media. And that to me has got to change. I hope there's a new administration does a complete wipeout on these agencies. I hope there's a cutback in the agencies. I hope there's the implementation of National Voting Day, term limits for elected people, and a constitutionally established balanced budget, and free speech, which is the ultimate protection that no one can touch, that there be some sort of boundary for bad behavior. The economic process, thank God for Donald Trump, is bringing back the alternative and that centering of media and broadcast. I think you're about to see a mass formation transition. Dr. Nesbitt called it mass formation psychosis. I call it a mass formation transition of political, social, moral, and ethical thinking in this nation to bring back trust in our nation to those elected officials you and I distrust right now.
Yeah, I sure hope so, Gene. I mean, my goodness, that is a message of hope right there. That's the kind of hope and change I think a lot of people are looking for right there, because you're talking about accountability. You're talking about a shift away from this super propagandized, emotional, reactive status they want everybody in, right?
Well, this virtual signaling that the Biden administration, Peter Buttigieg is an example of virtue signaling. He's in there because they could check a box off in terms of, I got one of these kinds of people in my group now. It had nothing to do with his ability to run that agency. It's been poisonous to public trust. And that's where we have to change it. Donald Trump wants people working for him that are capable, black, white, pink with yellow polka dots. He doesn't care where you're coming from, as long as you're legal and support this democracy and are an American citizen. I think that's all we need to really turn this nation around and get the credibility back in place, that foreign nations laugh at our foreign dignitaries, our ambassadors, because they're virtual signaling all these issues and not worrying about the real issues that concern these foreign nations.
Absolutely. All right, Gene, thank you so much. We're out of time. I hear the music. We're very pleased you were able to join us today. We'll look forward to your next appearance here. GeneValentino.com for all things Gene Valentino. Check out the Grassroots Truthcast with Gene Valentino. And be sure and stay tuned for the Jason Vermes Show coming up next right here at Today's News Talk TNT.